Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com. Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome back to the podcast. My guest today is Mark Wortman, Vortex Optics. We were just talking about college alma maters. He's at the Vortex recording studio, lab, whatever, and he had has a Washington State hat behind him. That's his alma mater. So thanks for being on here, former Cougar.
Yeah, no, appreciate it, Jeff. Yeah, super fun. So yeah, the lab, I like it. We should start calling it the lab. Ryan, what do you think about that? I'm talking to Ryan. He handles all of our tech stuff over here and is quite the wizard. If it's got wires, he can make it work. And actually he can, I think he built this table that we're sitting
nice.
At as well. So if you need it, he can do it.
Nice. So I went to the University of Arizona, so a fellow Pac-10 school. I know they're Pac-12 now, but kind of if you're really old school, you talk about the Pac-8. But we're talking about how Arizona never made the Rose Bowl, and then how we chose colleges, and I chose University of Arizona, obviously, for the lack of precipitation. You've been hunting in Southeast Alaska, so you know all about the precipitation I was trying to get rid of or get away from.
Yeah. I was the contrast between where you went to school and where you're at now is quite significant. You went from literally basically no rain to all the rain. You guys get all the rain.
Yep. Yeah. It was nice to, you're looking for certain things in colleges. And that was one of the things. I wanted a huge school with great sports and no rain. And so I got that. And then ironically, now I'm back in Alaska. So
there you go. I think that happens a lot. So you went from Alaska to Arizona and then came back home, huh?
Yeah. I grew up in Klawock, and then, said I'd never be a teacher and said I'd never move back to Alaska. But, you know, you make those declarations when you're a sophomore in high school, they're at least one of them is bound to happen.
Yeah. Right.
you grew up in Wisconsin.
So I grew up in Washington State. So that's my home state. So really not too far from you guys. I grew up on the west side of the state, which is probably why I like Southeast Alaska so much. Cause I always think of it. Yeah, that's almost like probably how Washington used to be even before, you know, when I was growing up. Like, I think I definitely missed the heyday of at least a lot of the fishing on predominantly on the fish side. But so, yeah, that's my home state. And then, excuse me, got continually migrated east. So I finished up school there, had a couple outdoor retail jobs at a couple really cool shops. One of them, Outdoor Emporium in downtown Seattle. And to me, that was like the big hunt fish store that I'd go to as a kid. So when I actually started working there, like I thought it was super cool. And I loved that job, and it was great people and a great, great store. And probably one of my favorite parts was, you know, the people that I worked with, but also the customers. We had a really awesome customer base there, and you get to gouge on all the fishing throughout the week. So my 2 days off were always Thursday, Friday. And which I, other than not being able to do stuff with your friends, I loved, because, you know, you'd get that big time period of rest, you know, all the rivers or whatever, get some rest throughout the week. And then bam, you'd hit it Thursday, Friday before the crowds hit and off you'd go. But so I'd stockpile all these little nuggets of fishing information throughout the week, and then, you know, make my plan for Thursday, Friday after that. So that was a good job. And then ended up at Cabela's in Sydney, Nebraska, working at their HQ out there for like 7 or 8 years or something like that. And, and really enjoyed that as well. And you know, like you say, you make these declarations. When I first left Washington, I'm like, man, I'm going to bounce to Nebraska. I'll be gone for like 2 years. It'll be a really cool experience. Then bam, I'm going to jump back, you know, just because I love the coast and that Western landscape so much. And here I am in Wisconsin. So I keep migrating east, but found a home at Vortex. Love it here. Amazing people, amazing company, awesome, fun products. I mean, we get to talk about optics and hunting, you know, pretty much on the daily holiday. So get to chat with guys like you. So yeah, it's a good spot.
It's nice. So what did you get your degree in?
So actually, marketing communications. So I had, they got a really strong communications program at WSU. So I had an advertising degree and then a minor in marketing. So shockingly get to use some of that stuff.
It seems like there's or maybe I'm just more in tune to it because I'm a teacher and there's the don't go to college because it costs too much and you're not going to use the degree anyway, or you get a piece of paper that doesn't mean anything. But then there are definitely cases in which people are using what they learned in their careers. Do you have some, I know it's a little different for us because we were kind of like the last group of people that went through like that late 90s, early 2000s. If you were in college, it was still fairly cheap, whereas a lot more expensive now. How much of what you use now did you learn at college, either specifically in a class or just as far as being around people, communicating, seeing the world, gaining confidence? How valuable was college for you?
Yeah, I think it was super valuable. I think it's as much the people that you get to spend time with during that time of your life. You know, you're growing a lot. It's like you're quotation mark an adult, but you're not exactly adult. I think the consequences are a little bit less impactful, I guess, as you go on throughout life and maybe get those responsibilities. But for sure, right? Like I did get to use my degree, which I think is, you know, some people might say that that's rare. I don't think it's that rare. I do think college is important. It was important for me. It was definitely a, you know, for sure, like a personal growth period in my life. In the comm school, probably one of the biggest things that I learned was in that program, it was like group project, right? And you're working with other people, you're working with different personalities. People have different strengths. You know, some people are super organized, some people are super creative, some people are, you know, on time, some people aren't on time for, you know, a group project or a meeting or something like that. And I think that's one huge part of life today or any career that you have. You're going to be working with a lot of other people, right? A lot of different personalities. And I think learning how to navigate and work within those scenarios and those different personalities is for sure like an important thing that you can learn. Of course, you know, you're talking about school, right? You know, depending on what you think your career path might be, if you want to be a doctor or a nurse or in the medical field or something like that, you're probably need a little bit of school. Can't just wing that one. Yeah. So I think it, you know, some of it depends on what you're doing. And for sure, like I think school is super important. It's something that I want my kids to do, but there's a lot, you know, really, I mean, it's not like so many kids are growing up, call them kids. People are growing up with the internet these days, which has definitely changed the game. You know, as far as like, you know, reach and access and being able to market yourself or a product that you came up with. So if you have a strong entrepreneurial spirit, maybe I'm not going to tell a person not to go, but there's definitely a lot of paths out there for sure that a person can be successful.
Yeah. That's the fine balance. A lot of people have ideas to do things, but you have to be able to have the, you know, the whatever to be able to make it work. And people talk like to, they love to cite Mark Zuckerberg and all these other people who dropped out of college. Well, they had a $1 billion idea and a $1 billion work ethic. If you don't have a $1 billion idea and a $1 billion work ethic, maybe you should try school.
Yeah. And I think also, even if you have that great idea, you're just going to learn some things at school that you just wouldn't get other places, and you get some good opportunities to screw up in a fairly consequence-free environment. I think both complement each other very, very well. There's definitely things that I learned in school that I still use to this day. Right.
What was it that attracted you to Vortex as far as a place to, or was it just a place you kind of got a job and then it became a career?
So, you know, I've always been passionate about hunting and fishing. You know, that's definitely a big part of the core of who I am as a person. When I finished up school at WSU, like we've been talking about, you know, I got a job at a Orvis retail store for a little bit. I got a job at Outdoor Emporium for a little bit over a year, and then got that opportunity at Cabela's. So like I definitely, the outdoor industry and just that, you know, arena is definitely where my passions lie. So I always wanted my career to be somewhat intertwined with my passions. Got I love my time at Cabela's, but I was also ready for, you know, something different, a new adventure, and found Vortex. And it was a young company at the time, or fairly young company at the time. And it just seemed like a great opportunity to, again, like grow personally, grow professionally. And it was still within the outdoor industry, got here, and the people have been absolutely amazing. And, you know, I always say it's pretty amazing. I never thought we'd be, I never could have imagined or pictured where we're at now from where we started, or at least from when I started at Vortex. Vortex was definitely here before I got to the company, but, it's been a pretty wild ride. It's been a fast ride. Lots of changes, lots of growth, lots of awesome successes and challenges. And it's been a fun one.
There's an idea that once you do grow, you cease to be what you were. And so if you started off as like a younger, nimble type company that really valued customer service, once you get huge, then people say that, you know, customer service is the first thing to go, or the quality of the product dips. And we've seen that with other companies in the outdoor industry. As soon as they get huge, then they either break off or they cease to be what they were. So is there like a reminder? Is there something that's in Vortex, as you see the bino cases and you see the binos and all that stuff everywhere? Is there something that collectively you guys and gals do to keep from outgrowing basic fundamentals that made you a good company that could grow?
So I think you hit the nail on the head there. And I think what you're talking about with that stuff, maybe sliding or taking some of a backseat as far as the customer service and the customer focus, I think that can happen. I think not doing that or not letting that happen and being super conscious and cognizant and intentional about not letting that happen is a big part of Vortex's success. Our customers are at the core of every decision we make. Every decision that gets made at the company, if it points back to the customer. If it does not make sense for the customer, it doesn't make sense for us. We definitely want to go, and I think do go above and beyond every chance we get. You know, that some of that goes back to our warranty. I think a lot of warranties, there's a lot of great warranties out there. I would say, you know, I sit in my Vortex chair, right? I'm biased, but, I think we execute the best, you know, and those, the words in our warranty, they're not just words, like we mean them, and it's truly an unconditional, no fault, transferable lifetime warranty. If you give your binos to your kids, that warranty goes with those binos to them. There's really no paperwork to fill out. If you're a Vortex customer, we want to help you before. We always say before, during, and after the sale.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
It seems like there's two different... Like that's awesome. I love that. That's one of the things that I love about Vortex too. It seems there are so many other companies that are going the other direction, in that like consumables is where you make money, right? You don't make any money in making a product that lasts a long time. It's about having that, you know, something that breaks at about 5 years or something like that. That way they have to buy again. whereas you are targeting as many people as possible because of this warranty, and you're not worried about, you know, having good products that last a long time. Like, you have good products that are going to last, and the word of mouth is going to keep growing. So that's something that's definitely appreciative.
Yeah, we're interested in building customers for life, and that's whether a person buys one bino and that's going to suit their needs for the rest of their life. Fantastic, mission accomplished. But hopefully, you know, I mean, I guess as a business, you're like, well, gosh, yeah, we hope you, you know, maybe you'll need another optic. Maybe you buy a new rifle and you need to top that. And we want people to be comfortable and want to come to us for their optic needs.
Yeah, I think actually, now thinking about it, who owns just one rifle, right? So there's always going to probably be some sort of new weapon. So I guess you do get some fresh customers when it comes to that. How do you keep growing? How much diversification do you do? I know you guys do a lot more gear now. Is that kind of, is it a complementary? Is it, are they both kind of doing well? How does that work as far as that growth?
So, you know, we've always had a strong entrepreneurial spirit here. And if you look back at even Vortex, way back, you know, you look, the owner of the company, Dan Hamilton, Dan and Margie, you know, Dan was in the military. He got out, he became a dentist, right? Decided after a few years, he didn't want to be a dentist. And it's like, okay, so there's a pretty strong pivot. So he and Margie opened up a Wild Birds Unlimited store, right? So, which their, you know, main products that they sold were bird seed, bird feeders, bird bass, things like that, you know, thanks to that birding community. Realized through that, oh man, a lot of these birders, they really use optics. Huh, that's interesting. Maybe we should start carrying optics. So Dan reached out to these optics companies. I'm paraphrasing and I'm maybe not even getting the story, you know, 100% accurate, but kind of distilling it down. Reached out to these optics companies and was like, hey, I'd like to carry your products. And they're like, well, you're not a real big deal. We're not going to open you up as a dealer. So he would actually go to another retailer, buy optics, put them in the store and sell them for a dollar over what he paid for them. And then he went back to these companies and said, hey, I'm going to look at all these receipts. You know, I'm selling optics. You know, and so eventually got opened up as a dealer and grew that, and eventually started a brand for that was being sold, you know, through all the Wild Birds Unlimited through the franchise there. Opened up a store called Eagle Optics, which actually sold everybody's optics. So like, and then, you know, they've got four boys that all work at the company. It's an incredibly, I always say, you know, they'll never say it about themselves, but an incredibly, incredibly bright family, very smart. All the boys work at the company here in varying capacities, and we're lucky to have them. But a couple of the boys were interested in hunting, shooting, things like that. So again, kind of their passions led into, as well as, you know, Dan wanting to start another brand of optics. I mean, that was kind of the foundation of Vortex, and through that and different decisions, like, you know, here we are today. And it's like, okay, well, we try not to limit ourselves. You know, like I said, we got that strong entrepreneurial spirit, not afraid to try new things. You know, if it works, great. Let's pour some gas on it. If it's not working, let's pivot. So like you said, we've got, you know, the apparel side of things is a focus of ours right now. And it's super exciting. You know, I got a Vortex hat on today that I really like. You know, half the time I come to work and it's like, I'm wearing, you know, four different Vortex things. That's like kind of my entire wardrobe as of late. But yeah, it's like, you never know. You never know. The product development team is full of a lot of bright folks over there. They're always working on new things. And so it keeps it exciting around here. That's for sure.
Nice. It seems like a pretty glamorous potential, like, job to have a job in the industry. You wear the stuff, you get to go on trips and stuff like that and meet a lot of people. Are there some aspects that people don't realize, not necessarily to Vortex specifically, but if you are doing this for a job, it's different. There's a marina just down the street from where I live, and people think, oh, it'd be so awesome to own a marina. And I see kind of the daily, you know, the stress. You have the cruise ships that come in and drop off the people, and you have people complaining and whining. You have all the business stuff that goes behind it. And then same thing with lodge owners in Alaska. So many people say, oh, it'd be so cool to own a fishing lodge in Alaska. And I'm thinking, I don't know, like that. There's a romantic notion of just standing in the living room or in the dining room, just shaking hand with guests. But I don't know if it's really that great. Are there some realities of being in the outdoor industry that that people don't think about? Maybe you lose track of how fun it is to be in the industry. Are there any downsides to being in the industry?
You know, that's a good question. I think no matter what you have in your life, I think as human beings, we have a tendency to take things for granted, right? If they're just a constant, you know? So I think by and large, I'm super fortunate and grateful for where I'm at. And I think you definitely have to remind yourself of that every now and again, like, wait a minute, you know, what if I was doing this or what I was doing that? Because I think no matter where you're working, it is work, right? It is going to be challenges. It is going to be hard. It's a commitment. It pulls you away from your family perhaps or whatever. But I'd say by and large, you know, I'll take this as an example. Like you could be like, okay, well, you know, sometimes we film our hunts for various work things, and you'd be like, oh man, you know, that's kind of a pain that takes away from the hunt, which it is. It's like, it adds an extra layer of challenges, you know, makes, you know, stalking more difficult, or you have to be cognizant of like, oh, well, did we talk about that correctly? Do we need to reshoot something? And it's like, you'd be like, oh man, that kind of, you know, took away from the hunt. And then you can pull yourself back and be like, but wait a minute, I got to go hunting for a week and call it work, you know? So you can't, that's a pretty big first world problem right there. So, yeah, I think that, you know, and I guess I'm talking to myself as much as anybody else, but, you know, kind of try and take a step back when you're intertwining your passions with your work, which can be dangerous, right? You definitely don't want the things that you love in life to, you know, diminish to a point where they're not fun anymore. That'd be terrible, right? But I think also, you know, being realistic about that is, you know, a good reminder. Like I said, I'm saying that as much to myself as anybody else.
Yeah, I think it could be easy to start looking at other careers or other things, especially now with COVID and being a teacher. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is awful. We have these meetings, you know, and we're trying to solve problems. But then when you're in the classroom doing the thing, like, man, I get to, not a lot of people feel the same level of purpose, right? You feel like you're doing something. You're not stuck at that desk job. And so you get that reminder that, man, I get to have a purpose. Like my job matters to people every day that I go. Not everybody could say that. And then of course have the summers off. So yeah, I get back in line real, real quick. Has there been a specific moment where you just thought, oh man, this is great. You're standing in Southeast Alaska hunting blacktail, and you kind of look back and think, man, how did I get here?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, real quick, is it recording?
Yeah.
Hold on. Ryan says it doesn't look like it's recording.
I'm on my phone now, and I'm recording through my Zoom.
Oh, okay. Copy that. So we just wanted to make sure there. Holy mackerel. Talk about technical difficulties. I mean, and that's one thing. You live in this amazing, beautiful place up there. Its remoteness is part of that beauty. That's a big part of why you're there. But, you know, the technological advances that we try to work within the constraints of these. Anyway, it's pretty funny. But it's still, I think the pros definitely outweigh the cons. But so what were you saying? I don't even know what I'm saying anymore.
Asking if there was a specific moment that made you realize, wow, I'm here. This is crazy what I get to do.
I mean, maybe not a specific moment, but I do think about that, though. You get to meet so many people like yourself or a lot of the people in the outdoor industry that I consider like just friends, because they're just people that I know. Like, they're quotation mark, like, kind of big deal people, you know, and not it's interesting to, like I said, you pull yourself back and You know, you might be hanging out with somebody or chatting with somebody, and it's just like, oh, that's just my buddy. Or maybe you're at a show or something like that. And then, you know, a group of kids come up and like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it's you. And I was like, oh, and then they're not talking about me, by the way. but you're like, whoa, that's pretty wild that, you know, that this person or these people are just intertwined and into kind of my daily life. And I guess, yeah, super fortunate, super blessed to have those people there.
It's one of the great things about it is you meet some of these people that are names, recognizable names in the industry, but then you meet the person behind it and you think this is the real person. This is a real dude or a real woman. It's just, you're ordinary. Like you're not like some big arrogant person. I'm sure there's plenty of those people in there too, but it just makes you kind of reinforces and it makes you want to provide something to the industry and participate in it, which is pretty sweet. Where do you think all this goes? Do you think that we're at an oversaturation point? Is there too much content? Is there too much bad content? Is it the golden age? Everything's great. What do you think? Where is this industry going with content, with gear, with everything?
Man, you know, that's an interesting thing to think about. If I was to guess, I don't think you can satiate the content consumption beast. I think there's a lot of people out there. People are thirsty for knowledge, and you can get so much knowledge from, you know, I guess the so many different people that are out there creating this content. And you know, you could look at it one way and be like, oh, there's no barrier to entry anymore, there's no gatekeepers. You know, when you look back at kind of, I guess, what I'd call, you know, the traditional media of, you know, print, TV, you know, whatever, what have you, and you could be like, oh, well, there used to be a, you know, a standard that you had to hit, or you know, production quality, or you know, there was somebody saying yes you're in, no you're not in. But on the flip side of that, I'd say so many people are getting their shot that they otherwise maybe wouldn't have, that are quality content creators. They're good people. They're extremely knowledgeable people. And so you're just getting a wider breadth and depth of knowledge than you ever would have before. Like, I guess as a content consumer, like if you're seeking knowledge or even, you know, entertainment or whatever. But I mean, where it goes, I don't think anybody knows, but I think we're in a pretty cool spot. And, you know, it's easy to, the good content will succeed, and maybe the lesser, you know, quotation mark, lesser content, you know, may, you know, fade to black a little bit or not grow, or it's interesting. I don't know. That's a tough question.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, there's always been that desire to have a story told, and it's never been told perfectly, which is why different people tell the stories different ways. You know, Randy Newberg, the way he tells a story is different than the way that Meat Eater and those guys do, which is different than everything that came before. And then there's the difference between the video version and the written version. I do hope that it doesn't go to like a fragmented TikTok mode, though. I think that would that's not what I'm looking for as far as content and storytelling goes. But who knows? Maybe
that's
I'll
where
adapt.
I get my news.
Oh my gosh, dude, it's has Vortex thought about starting a TikTok, or do you guys already have?
I mean,
one?
So yeah, I mean it's definitely something that we all you know, whenever there's a new platform, there's all obviously, you know, discussions about it. I think we might even have one. I don't know exactly what we've done with it perhaps yet, but yeah, you want to be nimble, you want to be on the cutting edge, you want to be where the people are, right? I mean, that's one thing that we definitely try to do is meet people where they're at. Like, and that goes back to that customer service thing. Like, let's make it easy for you. If you, you know, want to Facebook message because that's the most convenient for you, great. We'll do that. You know, so a lot of those tools are super useful to serve our customers better. But and you were pointing out there, Again, like meeting people where they're at, like everybody has a different appetite for content. Some people may just love reading, you know, they want to read books on hunting or magazine articles on hunting. Another person, you know, might still, you know, want to consume content on the outdoor networks. Somebody might want to consume YouTube on their phone. Somebody might be watching YouTube on their television. So there's just, there's no lack of, content creators, and there's definitely not a lack of ways you can consume it. So I think it's cool that people can, you know, really get what they want, where they want, and how they want.
Mm-hmm. What's on tap for you personally this fall as far as hunts and stuff go?
Man, I was trying to put together an alpine bear hunt back in Washington, and just like, you know, schedules didn't line up with a buddy of mine. So I think we might be pulling back the reins on that. But I know that I really got my first taste of alpine on Prince of Wales, actually, and just kind of fell in love with that environment. And so I was really, really hoping to get up in that country this year, just because, you know, number one, I love chasing bears, but just that alpine, man, that is a special place. I know you've been spending some quality time up in the alpine as of late, Jeff. But
quality fog time.
When you can see it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that alpine bear is so, so nice, because you eat the berries up there and they're so much juicier and sweeter and better. And so when you just think, man, a bear is tasting exactly like the, well, not exactly like these berries, but I have not got an alpine bear. I definitely want to. My buddy and I are thinking about heading out this weekend and try to put an arrow in one.
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
Man, that'd be, let me know how you do. That'd be super cool. And that's another big reason why I was hoping to get a bear as well. You know, you see, I've hunted fall bears. I've never shot a bear in the fall, kind of up high in the berries. So I was really wanting to do that this year for those reasons that you're saying right there. Is people say they taste so great, and you know, you can cook them a variety of different ways, and guys are rendering the fat, which I've never done, which I'd like love to experiment with. So I don't know if that's going to happen this year. I might be transitioning to an archery antelope hunt here within like the next day or so. But nice. So that might be my early hunt for this fall would be a archery antelope.
Nice. Do you have a lot of like states that you put tags in for? And then are you ever like left out? Like you applied for whitetail here and mule deer here and elk here and bear here, and then like nothing comes through?
I mean, I'm probably like the reverse of that in some ways. There's a handful of states that I apply in every year. But I also, there's so many cool over the counter opportunities that you can just bank on and you can just plan, be like, yeah, I know I can go. That I generally end up doing all these over the counter, or like maybe it's like a super easy draw where you're like, yeah, I know I'm going to draw or something like that. So I end up doing all these hunts that probably, I guess in some ways are like quotation mark, like lesser quality hunts, but I love the peace of mind that knowing that I can just go and bank on going. So then I, in these states that I build points in, I never end up burning them. I just keep banking and building points. So, but I have gotten to the point where I'm going to start cashing some of these things in. And actually one of the reasons why I want to cash them in is just so I can quit sitting on them, quit building them, and, you know, either just, you know, replace it with more of an over-counter option, or like an easier draw option to where it's not like, oh man, yeah, I got, you know, 14 points in this state. You know, do I try and draw this tag? It's like, no. I want to get like 1, 2, 3 points maybe and burn them and then just start the process over. So I think that's going to be my strategy moving forward.
Yeah. That's an area in which the content has changed things so much. And I've talked to other people about it, that there was probably a time when people who were hunters had their hunt. They were Colorado mule deer hunters. They were Wyoming antelope and mule deer or antelope and elk or something. But now with the content that shows all these other opportunities, like how do you not start to get curious about, like for me, it's like the down south stuff, you know, mule deer, whitetail deer. That'd be so crazy and cool to be able to go and do that when everybody else is like, dude, Alaska, you live in Alaska and their trip of a lifetime is to come up here. So you get exposed to all these great opportunities through all these great people in the industry. And it's just fun to have that just environment. You know, there's always someone willing to talk about it. Always someone willing to share details about this epic trip that it's always something to look forward to.
For sure. Yeah. I think that makes you a better hunter overall, just having a wider range of experiences. And there's always a takeaway, I feel, that you, like, let's say if you, you know, your archery antelope hunting, I feel like, you know, there's going to be takeaways that you can apply that to your whitetail hunting, or, you know, you go on a Sitka blacktail hunt, but, you know, you can take something that away for, you know, maybe like a high country mule deer hunt or whatever. I think those experiences that you have in different terrain, you know, with different challenges, make you a more diverse and better hunter overall. Now, sometimes I also feel by not specializing, which is what I don't do a good job at, because I'm like, oh, I want to hunt bears. I want to hunt antelope. I want to go muzzleload for elk. I want to, you know, then I kind of like, and I feel like I'm just like a good hunter. Okay. Hunter, but it's not like I'm like some banger whitetail guy that's just knocking down a big buck every year or something like that. But I also don't give myself the time to do that, 'cause I'm like, well, I'm going to do all these other things and then I'll hunt whitetails, you know, as much as I can at home, and then maybe take a week off and really, really concentrate on it. But I don't know. There's just too many things out there. There's too much fun to have. And I'd rather have, you know, fun and go chase a bunch of different critters and a variety of landscapes versus be like, oh man, I want to get one big one every year. You know, I'd rather get a bunch of okay ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's, I think part of the content, again, like the, I like to consume, or the people who don't necessarily try to be those experts, you know, just I'm more likely to be able to, you know, associate or know what you're going through, going to this different state and trying to figure it out, than someone who's, you know, the biggest, baddest person ever. And they just summon the elk and then, you're able to take one. But yeah, it's fun. I can't wait for the other opportunities that I have here. I'm also already planning for next year. It's just nonstop, but I think it makes the time go faster.
It does. Yeah. I mean, when you look at, as your eyes get open to all these different opportunities out there, you could really, if you had the time and the money, you could hunt year round, you know, and that's not even including international stuff. I mean, that's like basically, you know, between, and I'd say even mostly big game. Yeah. I mean, you could probably hunt, you know, year round if you really looked at the calendar, but, you know, then you got your small game options, you got your upland bird options, you got your, you know, hunting predators. I mean, holy mackerel. There's not enough time. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially living in Alaska, you're fishing, you're hunting all the time. At some point you got to sleep, which maybe it's kind of good during the winter when the sun goes down, because it forces you to sleep, but it is kind of miserable. So
yeah, you need that time to hibernate, to recoup.
Yeah. We kind of run the bear calendar. So it's been about an hour, man. Thanks for being on here. Can you give the Vortex pitch, where to find stuff, any deals or exciting stuff that you got coming out?
Man, you know, vortexoptics.com, you know, you can hit us up there. Check out the products on the website, some good information. You can learn about them. Give us a call, 800-426-0048. We got a team of folks that if you have really a question about anything optics related or even not optics related, they are really, really knowledgeable and will help you with any questions that you might have. So you might have an obscure firearm that you're trying to find a base or something. You're like, oh, I need to find a base and I need to get this rifle scope mounted up. You know, they can help you with that. Questions about general hunting questions, optics questions, which one should you get for the types of hunts that you're going on, man, they'll help you out there. We're super active on all the major social platforms. Again, kind of meeting people where they're at. We want to talk with you. That's why it's called social media. So we can be social. So hit us up there, ask any questions you have, or just say hi. And we kick out actually a fair amount of content as well. So we've covered a lot of optics related and not optics related topics on the Vortex Nation podcast, which actually, Jeff, I'll say we need to get you on as a guest. You kind of drew first blood here, so we need to turn the tables on you and ask the hard questions, go in the opposite direction. But yeah, I'd say that's kind of the major stuff. And you know, I always say, I mean, we do want to chat with our customers. We do want to interact with you. I think that is another somewhat differentiating factor here at Vortex. Let us hit us up and great. We'll see what you got going on.
Thanks, Mark. Really appreciate it.
Awesome, Jeff. Nope. Thanks for the time. Thanks for having me on. Good luck with the upcoming school year. That's a big time, I know, for you. And good luck with the rest of your fall. Sounds like you're off to a good start. So,
yeah, it's gonna be great, crazy. Hopefully, we get another chance at a mountain goat. I'd appreciate some nice weather, but it is Southeast Alaska. You've been here, you know.
It is. Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Cool. Take care, man.
We'll see you, man.
Thanks. Bye.
You want to succeed, you want to fish, you want to be one of the greatest.
Tune in to West Marine's Life on the Water, presented by Costa Custom Boats, every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. Spend your Saturdays with Life on the Water. Join Captain Brandon Simmons for fishing, diving, travel, and so much more.
You want to succeed. You want to fish. You want to be one of the greatest.
Oh, look at that thing, dude.
Wow. Oh. Let's see what kind of trouble we can get into today.
Don't miss Life on the Water every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. The destination for outdoor entertainment.